97.5, The Fanatic.
A pleasant Sunday afternoon to you and yours. Hope you're staying safe and happy and healthy, and welcome into 97.5, The Fanatic. The number, as always, to join the conversation, 610-632-0975. I am Tyler Zulli, back at the station today after an enjoyable run with my man across the glass, Dan Fritz, and of course, Haley Taylor as well. Yesterday, as we broadcasted live from the Parks Race and Sportsbook in Chinky and Pete's in Malvern, and we are here once again. Well, two of the three of us are here. Haley is not here today, but Dan Fritz is producing the show. I am Tyler Zulli. We take you for the next 4 hours off the heels of another enjoyable show from our guys Hunter Brody and Matt Menarik, as they took you from 12 until 4 o'clock today. 610-632-0975 is the number to join the conversation. We have a ton to get into, so thankfully, we do have a four-hour run to do it, so why don't we jump right into things. A week ago and a day from today, I sat here with Tom Alvord, and we talked about minimizing the extent of your dismay and disappointment when it came to a Phillies loss or a particular series loss. Things were trending poorly for this team a week ago. In fact, those poor trends transitioned into the beginning part of the week this week. And we sat here for 72 hours, and I openly said that this team made me look stupid for those 72 hours, but we sat here for 72 hours and said, calm down, pump the brakes, whatever other slow your roll, whatever other cliche you'd like to use to discuss this team, and specifically to slow the growth of the dismay that had been happening for this team over the series and over the week and over the month of May. We all understand that it was a poor month. The month of May was not a strong month for the Phillies. With that being said, even if you take it to the extent of a full month, what we sat here and told you was there are still 5 months of baseball left. There are still 112 games left to be played. This team still has an opportunity, despite the fact that they were 7 games back from a wild card spot at the end of the weekend, to still make the playoffs, to still be fine, to still salvage something out of a slow start to the season. Fast forward to this weekend. Joe Girardi is fired. Rob Thompson is in as the interim manager, and he wins his first two games. He wins his first two games over the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, of California, of the United States, of North America, of the world. How many names they're going to have is still yet to be seen. But he wins his first two games, and today, so far, less than ideal circumstances, as Kyle Gibson really, really struggles in the fourth inning, and the Phillies find themselves trailing after five. So, if we told you a week ago that it was too early to panic, it was too early to have that dismay and disarray and disparage this team, if you will, if we told you that a week ago, and we said there's still time, and perhaps a new manager in due time would fix things, I have to tell you, now 3 games in, or closing in on 3 games into the Rob Thompson tenure of the Phillies team, I have to tell you the inverse is also to be true. While I am not jumping to conclusions over the fact that this team struggled in the month of May, I do not also, or I should also, indicate to you that we can't sit here after 2 wins against a reeling Angels team and scream that the world is on fire and the Phillies are back and Rob Thompson should win manager of the year. Now, I know that last one is a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but that is kind of where we're at with this city as a fan base. And I have said this before. This city, of which you and Dan and Hunter and Matt and myself are all a part of the fan base, because that's why all of us get into this industry to begin with, because we were fans first. I have said this many, many times. I believe us as a fan base, us as a city, to be amongst the smartest fans in all of sports. However, I also believe that we are amongst the most reactionary in all of sports. The good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent, we are reactionary to it all. because we live and breathe the lifeblood of this city is intertwined and forever intertwined with its sports teams. The Eagles, the Phillies, the Sixers, the Flyers, the Union. You are intertwined with the teams that you root for, and it's not unfair to say that you are emotionally charged, and I am emotionally charged, and we are an emotionally charged fan base. And so, with emotion, obviously comes passion, and with passion comes demand. Now, that passion was bred in demand a week ago, and now, the emotion on the flip side, that's when the bad happens. When the good happens, that emotion turns to passion, and that passion turns to a little bit of overreaction. And so that's why I'm trying to kind of reel us into a middle spot so far to say that the Phillies have played really well. Friday, or over the last 2 days, they played really well. Friday, a 10-0 victory over the Angels. Zach Eflin was great. He went in 8 strong innings, and the bats were alive. Yesterday, the bats came alive once again. They scored 7 runs and won the game 7-2. Zach Wheeler was good. He wasn't great, but he was good. And he got you through 6 and got you 9 strikeouts, held the Angels, who are a good offense, to 2 runs, and the bullpen was solid the rest of the way. Today, it's not been as pleasant. And so, with the fact that should the Phillies lose this game today, and we are not getting to that point just yet because there's plenty of baseball left to be played, should the Phillies lose this game today, they will fall to 24-30. The point being is, a series victory has already been established. You have an opportunity to enjoy a series victory, to enjoy the first series victory in Rob Thompson's tenure as the Phillies manager. You have an opportunity to take this series victory into a difficult stretch ahead. May was difficult. The beginning of June is equally as difficult. Up next is a 3-game series in Milwaukee with the Brewers, who are already 11 games over 500. Then, at the end of the week and the beginning of next week, you have an opportunity at hand to take on the Diamondbacks, the Marlins, the Nationals, and then 2 against Texas before I think things start to ramp back up. So, with that being said, you have 12 games against all winnable opponents. So while I think that you have an opportunity at hand to see some enjoyable baseball, to see some better baseball, to see this team kind of creep a little bit closer back to 500. And if this team can find a way to go 8-4, which I talked about 2 weeks ago, I didn't think was feasible, or I wasn't going to be the one to sit here and tell you that that's something that they should, could, and will do. Now I sit here and watch it after, you know, the last weekend and say 8-4 is a possibility. And if you find your way to 8-4, then all of a sudden your 24-30 record becomes 32-34, and you're substantially closer to 500. You're substantially closer to a wild card spot once again, and then we can reevaluate once more. But for this weekend, because it would be unfair and hypocritical for me not to say this, if I said this in the opposite, the antithesis way a week ago and said, don't let a weekend series or don't let a week dictate how you feel about this team negatively, I also have to rein you back in just a little bit and say, don't let a weekend series positively pull you back in and say that this team is, you know, all of a sudden figured things out. Because it's a combination of a couple things. What we saw this weekend, regardless of an outcome today or not, what we saw this weekend was a team that we talked about last night was engaged. Or yesterday afternoon, we talked about they were engaged. They were engaged again yesterday. And I think you're going to see a fight from this team down the stretch of this game, even though they're not winning currently. You saw all of that based on the fact that a manager got fired and the team reacted. You also saw a series victory, regardless of what happens today, because they faced an absolutely reeling Los Angeles Angels team who now have stretched their losing streak to 10 consecutive games. We said yesterday it's really hard to lose 9 in a row. It's really hard to lose 10 in a row. It's really hard to lose 11 in a row. And so all of that gets put into play to say that find yourself a middle ground with this team and enjoy the ride while it's happening. Because this team is not as bad. I truly believe they are not as bad as they've played over the last 2 weeks. Sans the series against the Dodgers and the Seattle Mariners. And just because they fired their manager and have had a nice start to the series against the Angels, already winning the series and the outcome of today still to be determined, does not mean that they're World Series bound. Find yourself a nice middle ground and enjoy the month of June. This team is too good, at least on paper, to play as absolutely poorly as they did in the month of May. That being said, I'm not punching my ticket to a series against the Yankees or the Astros or the Rays in the World Series come October just yet. So find yourself a middle ground and live there. I promise you, you will enjoy baseball a lot more when you are not sitting on an everyday high and low ride or die type feel with this team. 610-632-0975 is the number to join the conversation. And before we progress any further, we will welcome our second member of the program into today's show. I had the opportunity to work with this man yesterday. We're back together today for a four-hour run. Whether that to be his pleasure or displeasure is yet to be seen. That, of course, would be Dan Fritz. Dan, a good Sunday to you.
Good afternoon, my friend. Good to work with you, as always, even if you are wrong about some things.
We will get to that. We're going to get to that in a little bit. We're going to get to that in a little bit further detail because I had a lot of detractors yesterday. I had a lot of support yesterday, and we're going to kind of further that conversation a little bit. In fact, I had somebody send me a DM and say, "You shouldn't be allowed to talk sports if you have that opinion."
What?
Yeah, that's where we're at. But we'll get to that momentarily. So I want to ask you to start the show. Last week, Tom and I'm not sure if you heard. If not, I understand. Enjoy your holiday weekend. Last week, Tom and I, and then Matt and I on Monday, spoke about staying grounded with this team. And despite the fact that they were playing poorly, and yes, changes needed to be made, and the first big one, the first domino to fall, was made at the beginning part of the weekend, staying grounded with this team in the poor play that they've put together. Now, I think it's fair to flip that and stay grounded with this team over the course of an enjoyable baseball weekend. Do you agree?
Oh, very much so. And even with that, something I was thinking of coming in, and I've heard and seen some of my friends post to social media, and they have told me as well, the season starts today. Okay, so
how long starts today? Yeah, exactly. Does that mean if they lose, it's over today?
No,
that's where I'm trying to get to. Is I think that there is a lot of emotional ties to this team,
exactly.
Much like there are with every team in this city. And fair or unfair to the fan base, to us, me, you, everybody that's a fan of this team, fair or unfair, I think that that is something that we need to detach from with this particular team. Because they are not perfect, but they are, I truly believe they are not as bad as they started and had the month of May. And I'm not also going to allow 18 innings of baseball to throw me all the way to the other side.
No, and you can't. So like I said, don't worry about today's game. As you alluded to at the top of the show, the Phillies have won this series. And they have done so better than what they've done on average for the most part. Again, as you alluded to, sans a nice little West Coast trip not too long ago.
Yep.
So we know this team's got it in them. So what do you have today? Okay. Well, they were down 5-0, now 5-2, as they go into top of the seventh. Fourth inning, the wheels come off. Every team in baseball, maybe not the fourth inning, but they're going to have a fourth inning like today, the wheels come off.
Sure, happens all the time.
So if anybody's under the mindset of, oh, if they lose today, we're right back to where we were, this team stinks, trade everybody, fire everybody, burn down, no, stop. The minute Joe Girardi was let go, some clocks reset. Because you still have to establish what this new manager is going to do. Not that there's many changes, but there are a couple of little ones. You still have to get used to how this person now calls the game. So far, minus today, but it's still a good amount of baseball left. I like what I see. There's energy. There's engagement. Schwarber's giving out home run souvenirs a couple times a game.
Yep.
Okay, you know, Alec Boehm, well, baseball bat kind of had him chill out for a few seconds. But you know what? Maybe he needed that. Maybe he needed that to a certain extent. I get you're frustrated, I get it, whatnot, but have the bat come back up and bite you on the neck? Maybe he needed that as a kind of a look in the mirror and say, all right, same thing, woosah.
There's a conversation to be had with Alec Boehm, and I think that Hunter and Matt started it early today. And that's where I disagree with Brody on the conversation. He was talking about a potential down the line, who do you feel more comfortable moving? And I don't want to have that conversation just yet, but it's one that I think has been in the back of all of our minds for a really long time. So as much as I don't want to have the conversation in the middle of the season, it is kind of a conversation to look ahead to throughout the journey of these two men's careers. Because like I said the other day, this team, in a perfect world, has five designated hitters on it. That is incredibly difficult to do, but that's the way that they've established this team. And that's the way that they are going to either succeed or fail is with the bats. And then some nights, just because pitching is good in this game and in baseball as a whole, you're going to get nights where the bats come together infrequently or not at all at the same time. So that's why we start today's show with a stay grounded mentality. There's a lot of baseball left to be played. I have said to you for 2 weeks now, despite the fact that this team has frustrated the crap out of you and me and all of us,
oh yeah,
that they are going to make the playoffs still. Some have told me I'm crazy. Some agree. Some say, we'll see. And wherever you're at in that conversation, the reason as to why this team is still going to make the playoffs is that they still have, after this game, over 120 games left, or 110 games left to play, excuse me. Actually, just dipped under 110 games. So 108 left to play.
We'll call it 100 and change.
Math is not my strong suit.
No.
We've learned that over the years.
Yeah.
That's why we're here talking.
Exactly.
Instead of doing arithmetic. So that's where we begin today's show at 610-632-0975. Are you capable? And I want you to be honest, because I know it's difficult. It's more difficult with a team that plays, let's say, across the street and plays 17 games as opposed to 162 to remain grounded with this team. But are you capable of doing it after what has been the first enjoyable weekend of baseball or the first enjoyable series of baseball since May 12th through the 15th when the Phillies had an opportunity to get to 18-18 and sweep out the best team in baseball?
I can.
I think that if you can find yourself in that spot, then you are in for a much more enjoyable June and July. So that's where we begin today's show, 610-632-0975. Throughout the program, what you saw today from Kyle Gibson and what was, I guess, a near implosion from the starter in the fourth inning after facing the minimum amount of batters through three. Now, you say, Tyler, that's once through the order. That's nine hitters. I understand that. I also understand that that is difficult against a professional lineup. So throughout the show, I'm going to give you some numbers, and we're going to try to figure out how to manipulate this starting rotation and manipulate this pitching staff as a whole in order to get the maximum results over the next 100-some-odd games, as Dan just gave us a great way to describe it. 100 and change is what we'll do. Now, before we get to the break, I want to ask our first side topic question of the day. Now, Dan, I did not get a chance to discuss this with you, so it is brand new to you as well. Our Uh-oh. First side topic question of the day. Season 4 of Stranger Things just came out. Are you a Stranger Things fan, Dan?
I am not.
Okay. So the reason that I'm asking this question today, not for lack of care, because at some point I would like to watch the show. Not for lack of accessibility, because it's on Netflix and I have a Netflix account. Not for lack of time, because I've watched other shows in other capacities. However, for whatever reason, I have not seen a single episode of Stranger Things. I've seen clips via social media. I've seen clips via YouTube, if you will, that they make no sense to me because it's out of context for me. But regardless of whatever the reason is, it is an incredibly popular show that I have interest in watching, that for whatever reason, I have not seen a single episode of yet. So I want to ask you, doesn't have to be currently playing, could have been a past show, could have been an all-time great, what is a popular show that you have not seen an episode of? So I will start, as I said, with Stranger Things. I have not seen a single episode of the show, and at one point in my life, I will watch the show. Whether it's good or bad is subjective to me and yet to be determined, but I have not seen a single episode of Stranger Things, even though this series and season specifically have been highly touted.
I'm going to catch it for this one. Game of Thrones. I have not seen.
Not seen a single episode.
I've seen like bits and pieces, but I do not recall one because I don't have HBO at home.
Okay.
Or for streaming, so
okay.
I just have not had accessibility to it.
So I do not have HBO in my current home either, but I've had this conversation before. I've watched probably the first, I don't know, four episodes, I believe, of Game of Thrones, and everyone says, you got to stick it out. You got to wait till the end. You got to get to season two. It gets better. It gets awesome. And then, of course, you know, I'm sure you've heard this, even though you've not seen it, like the cataclysmic drop-off of the final season of the show. Regardless, people say it's a great watch no matter what. I've watched the first couple episodes. I did not enjoy it. And I enjoy that kind of fantasy stuff. I'm a big Lord of the Rings fan. I like to read those kind of books. I like to play those kind of video games. For whatever reason, Game of Thrones did not catch my attention, and I have not gone back. Now, people say I should, but I'm going to give shows I've never seen, such as Stranger Things, a chance first. So, Dan, you've never seen an episode of Game of Thrones. I have never seen a single episode of Stranger Things. What is a popular TV series? Now, it doesn't have to be traditional, you know, 3, 6, 10 type series. It could be streaming, HBO, Netflix, those kind of things. A popular series that you have never seen a single episode of. 610-632-0975. We are just getting started here on The Fanatic. That, of course, is Dan Fritz across the glass. I'm Tyler Zulli as we take you until 8 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
5 o'clock hour here on 97.5 The Fanatic. The number to join the conversation, as always, is 610-632-0975. Let's go! Let's go! That's the MVP of the league right there, baby.
This ball is
Let's go! Bryce Harper, grand slam, ties the ball game at 6. Let's go. They brought their closer in for that situation, too. Racil Iglesias has been good over the course of his career. Let's go. Tyler Zulli, Dan Fritz, we're going to talk about that in just a second, but I do want to let you know before we go any further that this weekend's programming is brought to you by Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning. Count on Cans to keep you and your family cool all summer long with special financing and rebates up to $650 on a qualifying system. And I am excited to read that because my blood is like flowing right now. Because the MVP of the National League strikes again. This man is on an insane tear. Just an absolutely unbelievable tear this season and back into last season. I said, gosh, this is going to be hard to do. Stay grounded, but the stay grounded that we just talked about, but there is a very realistic chance that man is going to be in the running for the MVP again this season. And you know what the fun thing is, or the great thing about Bryce Harper and the way that he's performed this year, despite the fact that he has not played the field in over a month at this point, what's great about Bryce Harper? He now has 13 home runs, 40 RBIs, and an over .305 batting average. It's incredible to sit here and say that this guy could legitimately be another MVP candidate of the National League. Now, granted, A, it's early, so that's where I tell you to stay grounded. And B, there are a lot of other really good candidates around the National League right now, like Fernando Tatis and Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt. There's a lot of really, really good players in the National League. But Mookie Betts, another one. Pete Alonso is in that mix. But my goodness, this man is playing some incredible baseball right now. And he's doing it despite the fact that he basically is a perpetual DH. And I say basically, he's not basically a perpetual DH anymore. Let's be honest with ourselves. This guy, I say Bryce Harper, this guy, at this point of the season, with the fact that they may still be fighting for a playoff spot, and until they are not fighting for a playoff spot, is not going to get surgery. And my limited understanding of the UCL and how that Tommy John surgery works is that it's not going to heal on its own. Right? So he is not going to throw again. You can give him the cortisone shot or whatever the kind of shot they give now, whatever the shot is they give now. He is not going to throw again until this team is either out of the playoff race or eliminated from the playoffs. And this guy could legitimately win an MVP as a designated hitter for 7 months of the year. That's crazy to me. That is the kind of impact that he has made on this team in this season. As the calendar flips to June, he has 13 home runs. He's, three off the National League lead. Sorry. Obviously, Aaron Judge has hit like 784 of them this season. He's three off the National League lead now. Heading into today, the RBI leader in the National League was Pete Alonso at 53. Now, granted, Harper only has 40. A lot of those home runs early in the season being solo shots, but he is now tied for seventh in Major League Baseball, and he is probably third or fourth now, tied for fourth in the National League by itself. What he has done for this team, I don't care about the playoff success or lack thereof, much like I don't care about the lack of playoff success for Joel Embiid. What those two guys have done for their respective teams is miraculous. Considering the talent that has been around them has either been lackluster, underperforming, or at times, both. 610-632-0975. It is really, really hard for me to do what I just told you to do for the first hour of this show when Bryce Harper hits a game-tying grand slam in the bottom of the eighth. Now, before we get to Dave in Center City, I'm going to do that in just 1 second. Dan. The Phillies have now had this is the fourth time in 2 weeks that the Phillies have hit a game-tying or go-ahead home run in the eighth inning or later of a game. Fourth time in 2 weeks. Do you know what their record is in the first three games of those four games?
Now, see, I was trying to help you out build something, but you're going to shift that gear on me?
It's not good. It's 0-3. Today would be a beautiful time to break that winless streak and sweep this series. 610-632-0975, the number to join the conversation. All right, let's go to the phones. We'll go to Center City. We'll talk to Dave up next on the Fanatic. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guy. I'm actually in Ventnor, and oh, my God. We love Mike Trout. We love his allegiance to our city.
Sure.
To our sports teams. But right now, he is not the best player in baseball. Bryce Harper is. Oh, my God. What a thing of beauty. I hope they could finish the job and win this game.
You know what's funny, Dave? I'm driving in. I'm driving into the station. And I'm pretty sure I heard your voice say earlier today they were going to win this game.
Yeah, I just felt like with Rob Thompson pushing all the right buttons in two games. I know Sandoval was leaking a little oil, but, you know, Madden should not have went to Iglesias. Harper 3-for-5 lifetime against them with two homers. Threw him nothing but chin. You know, I know you're an Angel fan, but Madden's the next one to go.
Oh, Madden's a terrible manager. I think it was a bad hire to be. He's not a terrible manager. Let me rephrase that. He's had a good career. But I think that it was a terrible hire at the time when they brought him in. They needed to go younger after a near two-decade run with Mike Socia. I thought they needed to go younger, and they didn't. And that
I'll tell you what. I rooted. If it weren't for Tampa Bay playing the Phillies for the title, any other team, I would have rooted for Tampa.
I think a lot of people would, right? I mean, it was their first time in the World Series. They had kind of been, I mean, if we're being honest, they were kind of the punching bag of the league for over a decade.
Oh, my God.
You know, they were awful. They were really, really bad for a long time. So I think a lot of us would, you know, especially against, I'm trying to remember who was in the playoffs that year. It would have been the Dodgers, the Brewers, and the Cubs.
The Red
right?
Sox. The Phillies would have played the Red Sox.
Correct, right. So I think you're correct. I think probably a lot of us would have, if the Phillies weren't involved, probably would have rooted for the Rays in that series.
Now, let's hope Thompson pushes the right buttons here. I'm going to go back inside and watch the game.
Enjoy it. Yeah. I hope your premonition does come to fruition. Thanks for joining us as always, Dave. Thank you for the phone call today. I will say this. I, at this current juncture, do not believe that Mike Trout is the current best player in baseball. I also, at this current juncture, even for all the praise and props that I just gave the man, and rightfully so, it's deserving that he gets the praise because he has been nothing short of sensational for the Phillies. I also do not believe that Bryce Harper is the best player in baseball at this current moment. I believe that title goes to Mookie Betts, Dodgers outfielder Mookie Betts. Let me give you his numbers really quickly. A .311 batting average, which amongst qualified starters, because I think it's kind of unfair to have guys that are like, you know, 3-for-4 in their season. Amongst qualified starters, he's fifth in the National League with a .311 batting average. He is in the top 20 in doubles. He is in the top 16th, tied for second in home runs. He is just shy of 40 RBIs. He has a .391 on-base percentage. He's slugging well over .600. His OPS is just shy of one, and he is second in the National League in WAR behind just Manny Machado at 3.4. That, to me, is the best player in baseball right now. But for what it's worth, Bryce Harper may be a top-five hitter in the league currently. That's how good he's been. Like, if I were to pick my top five hitters in baseball right this moment, it would probably be Mookie Betts 1. I would go Aaron Judge 2. I would go Jose Ramirez 3. Manny Machado 4. And then I'm making a decision between Bryce Harper and Nolan Arenado for 5. That's how good Bryce Harper has been this season. Is it fair to put a, basically by the end of the season, a DH only in the National League MVP conversation if he continues to hit at the clip that he's hitting at? Because I think it is. I think it certainly is. He's going to be in the conversation, like I said, with a lot of guys. Machado, Betts, Arenado, Goldschmidt, you name it. Ton of really good players in the National League. He's going to be right up there with them. And rightfully so. He's been that good. 610-632-0975, the number to join the conversation. So I'm going to ask that question. I'm going to ask you that question as this game progresses. Can Bryce Harper be in the National League MVP conversation strictly as a DH for the remainder of the year? Because I believe he can. 610-632-0975. Now, Dan, before the break, we were talking about contracts and if shortening the game or shortening the season would have a bottom line fallout on contracts around the league. And I said that you're probably right, but not to the extent that it may feel. So I'm going to give you this number. If I told you that the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, the nine highest paid players on the Phillies roster are Bryce Harper, Zach Wheeler, JT Realmuto, Nick Castellanos, Kyle Schwarber, Aaron Nola, Corey Knebel, and then on the injured list, Gene Segura, and then just coming off today, he's actually in the game, Didi Gregorius. Those nine guys, if I told you that they made of the $240 million on the 40-man roster that is being spent, 171 of it, does that change the thought process of the fallout of the bottom line?
Well, after watching Didi Gregorius just miss a try to throw out a second, wipe that off the board, and then, yeah, I would say it would help things out a little bit.
You're getting productivity this season from these names, right? Suarez. Now, granted, some to greater extent, because, again, Suarez has not been particularly awesome, but he's a starter in your rotation. You're getting productivity from Suarez, Dominguez, Bohm. I'm not even going to include Norwood and Nelson, but they're on here. Moniak, Belletti, Stott, Brogdon, Sanchez, and unfortunately, Maton goes back on the injured list last night after the, or Friday night, excuse me. Every one of those guys that I mentioned are making $730,000 or less this season. They combine for no more than 0.31% of the team's $240 million payroll. They might take a numeric hit, but it's not going to be that large.
Yeah.
So if you add a sixth.
Yeah.
So let's even take away the shorten the game, shorten the season thing. Adding a sixth starter doesn't change your salary. Doesn't change how much money you're paying, guys. It just changes the construct of your 26-man roster. And quite frankly, if you said to me that this team was going to send down James Norwood, who I don't even know if he needs to be DFA'd. I think he can just be sent down because he's still considered pre-arbitration, and probably knowing that means he has options left on his contract. Knowing that he could be sent down without having to worry about a designated for assignment, and you figure out whether it's Falter stays on the active 26 or Falter moves into that rotation spot and you bring Apel up, who probably deserves to be brought up at this point. He's pitching really well in AAA. Whichever you do, decision that you make in that kind of regard, I think it's going to help out the bulk of your starting rotation. The only guy that I would have concerns that it might mess up is Zach Wheeler. because he's been so consistent that it, we talk about kind of getting thrown off your rhythm a little bit, thrown off your groove. That one would concern me a little bit more.
Well, but then couldn't you also turn around and, yeah, you'd have the sixth person in the rotation, but even though he would be a sixth, and like you even said, it wouldn't have to be all the time.
Wouldn't have to be in every sixth.
So would
thing.
Wheeler be in your formula, the variable? So that, and let's just, you know, throw out just a number.
Sure.
Every 6 days, Wheeler's on the hill. Just to throw something out for the purposes of math, since we got our crayons out.
Okay. So as opposed to it being 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1.
Correct.
It couldn't, in your regard, be 1, 2, 1 being Wheeler. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 6, 2, 3,
correct.
4, 5, 1. And something, you kind of cycle it through that way.
So it doesn't mess up Wheeler's every 5 day or whatever the math is.
Certainly feasible. I mean, I think that you're going to have to try to figure out a way to get Zach Wheeler on the mound as much as possible. That's just something that, you know, anybody with even a remote idea of how this team is constructed would agree with. You want Zach Wheeler on the mound as much as possible.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think that that's something that you could theoretically work towards, where it doesn't impact Wheeler, but it changes everybody else's schedule. And I think that that would help. I think that that would eliminate some of this, you know, 4 through 7 type, 4 through 6 innings type issues like we laid out with Nola with a 6.45 ERA in the 4, 5, 6, and 7 innings, and Gibson and Eflin in 4, 5, and 6 having a 4.85 and a 6 flat ERA. I think it's certainly something that could help out. I don't think it could hurt giving the guys an extra day, especially these three guys in particular.
Something you can look at.
Something you can look at. And then, come playoff time, should this team be a playoff contender, and should this team make the playoffs, I'm not saying if or when, even though I do believe that they will, if this team, or let me rephrase that, I'm not saying when, I'm saying if they make the playoffs, you're going to have a fresher rotation because of the fact that these guys got spaced out every 6 day, sans Zach Wheeler. You are going to have guys who are going to be, because they're fresher, will be able to be used in multiple different roles, such as, hey, we need a victory today. We're down 2-1 in the series. We don't want to go down 3-1. It's Zach Eflin's turn on the mound, but I also know that I could go to Ranger Suarez for innings 3, 4, and 5 or 4, 5, and 6 and be that bridge gap between the starter and Dominguez, Hand, and Knebel in some capacity. Certainly worth a shot. It can't hurt. I don't believe it can hurt, especially when we look at those numbers. Speaking, by the way, of Hand, Dominguez, and Knebel, even though Knebel gives up the run in the ninth and the Phillies are going to have to try to win this game again in come-from-behind fashion, speaking of those three guys, I want to talk a little bit more about Rob Thompson's impact on those three guys specifically. Now, he spoke on Friday and talked about continuity. And we're going to hear from him in the next segment, if you don't mind, Dan. I know I'm springing it on you a little bit. But if you don't mind, we'll hear from Rob Thompson in the next segment. Speaking about continuity, specifically, I think, with the bullpen. And we're going to talk about those three guys in totality on the other side. We'll continue the side conversation. What is a show, a big show, that you have not seen a single episode of? I have never seen an episode of Stranger Things. Dan has never seen an episode of Game of Thrones. We'll get into more of these Phillies questions and baseball questions as a whole on the other side as well. We'll see what happens in the bottom half of this ninth inning. And of course, as soon as the game is over, we are here for you to react, whether they win or they lose. We'll talk about it on the other side. 610-632-0975. That's Dan Fritz. I'm Tyler Zulli. We take you until 8 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.